my next guest. Robert J. La Bombard is CEO of Grad Staff, Inc., and he's going to tell us what that is about. But let me kind of capsulize it and say he's taken a look at all the things that our young people, our newest grads, are facing. And he's got a list of things that he thinks we should be concerned about, you should be concerned about, in terms of understanding how to manipulate the new rules, the new technology, what happens with careers, with counselors, all of that kind of thing at this point that I think will make it much easier for our millennials and young people to make the next step. Bob, welcome to Home and Family Finance. Nice to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Paul.
I refrain from reading over the accomplishments, but let me just say, so my listening audience knows who's talking, you have over 35 years of business experience in the chemical, environmental, professional services, and staffing industries, 22 years of staffing industry experience as CEO of Grad Staff, Inc., and founder and CEO of EnviroStaff. So lots of stuff here, folks. But, Bob, first, explain to us what Grad Staff is, how it works, and why you started this.
Sure, yeah. Grad Staff is a really unique company. We're a career matchmaker, and so we serve two groups, basically, the new grad coming out of college and then the hiring company. For the hiring company, we do the college recruiting that they don't want to do on their own, and for the new grad, we help them figure out where they fit in the workforce, and then we bring the two together by placing new grads in positions with our client companies that respond to their stated career desires, yeah, and so forth.
Well, talk to me now about where we are. Is this the worst you've ever seen it? Is it as good as you've ever seen it? Is there concern? Where should the new grad put themselves in terms of understanding what they're facing in terms of being hired?
Well, the good news is that 2016 will be probably the best market for new grads in quite some time. You know, the worst year was 2009, at the depths of the recession, and progressively it's gotten better, pretty much every year. But having said that, though, while the market is better, the market has also changed a lot over the years. And so a lot of the coaching we do with candidates is to help them understand those dynamics. But the reason why the market is better is that there's two things really in the favor of the new grad. One is that, there are a lot of baby boomers like myself retiring. There are a lot of industries that tend to have a higher age profile or an older age profile. They need to hire more at the entry level to respond to the loss of a big part of their workforce. And on top of that, with technology continuing to dominate our economy and find new applications all the time, there's a strong need for technology skills, and this millennial group has some very fine skills there, and that puts them at the top of the list, sure, for many employers in terms of who they want to hire.
And if I understand you correctly, you're saying because of the retiring baby boomers, quote unquote, and those in that age group, companies are now more willing to hire entry level people, new people, people that are just coming in the door.
Absolutely. And the key statistic there is that Generation X, those people that are 33 basically to about 50, that's a very small generation, and about 22% of the workforce. There's intense competition for people in that age group. However, there's not enough of them to replace the boomers. Hence, companies will need to hire more at the entry level to find the skills they need to replace the boomers that are retiring.
And I'm also interested in what you say. Technology will continue to revolutionize college recruiting. Explain that.
Yes, I think the one thing that we've seen, especially in the last couple of years in particular, is that companies, even the big companies that do a lot of college recruiting, they're not going on campus as much as they used to. With technology and social media in particular, they can be very targeted in who they go after on the college campus. And a lot of the interviewing these days is done by video interviewing, by Skype and so forth. And so as a result of that, the people with high GPAs, mm-hmm, or the STEM majors, those people in high demand are getting jobs on the college campus. But many students are because a lot of times they don't know where they fit in the workforce, are not getting those opportunities. And so what's really concerning, even though the market is better, is that still over 70% of college grads are leaving campus without a job, even though the market has gotten better.
Wow, 70%. Now, the low labor force participation rate, you say, will help new college grads. How is that?
Well, that's just because a big part of why the labor force participation rate is so low is because a lot of baby boomers are retiring.
Okay,
it's
okay.
It's not the only explanation, but it is a big part of that decline.
All right. Now, the other interesting thing was that you are suggesting that college administrators and college career services are under the gun. How so?
Well, with college as expensive as it is, as your audience well knows, parents and students are demanding more out of that investment in terms of making sure that the student, number one, is career ready after the 4 years, but also hopefully has connections to where the jobs are. And I think schools, do a decent job of making students or colleges do a decent job of making students career ready.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think colleges are very weak at making real connections to employers in the marketplace.
And I think you're right. Isn't that a slippery slope? I mean, the kid spends 4 years at your college, gets out without a job. You can't turn to the college and say you didn't get them. Well, you can do that, but that's a hard thing to prove, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but I think that what we see right now is that only about 20% of college students are actively using career services. So that begs the question, well, why are so few actually engaging career services? And what we've seen, again, over the past couple of years is that most college students now are finding that they can get more information and tools on social media and online through online resources than what perhaps what they're getting with the career services department.
We're talking to millennials. If you are one or you have one hanging around the house because they don't have a job, you ought to be listening very closely to what Bob is saying. We're giving it to you for free. All you have to do is just pay attention. We'll be back with more with Bob Bombard as we talk about grad staff and ways to help your kid find the job. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. And my guest is Bob LaBombard. He's talking about the top five job market trends if you're a new college grad or you have one living in the house. And he's CEO of what's a company called Grad Staff, Inc., a national entry-level career matchmaker, new college grads and hiring companies. Bob's unique perspective of what can be expected in 2016. You got to know what you're facing if you're going to try to accomplish something, if you're going to move forward. And that's why we're bringing this to you. Bob, of all the things we're talking about, I'm going to go to some other areas. But if I were to say to you, what's the most important, either a millennial, a new college grad, or the parents of same, what's the most important thing you're going to tell them today that will make a difference, you think, in terms of a success?
For a new grad coming out of college and looking for that first job, I think the most important thing there is for them to define their value proposition and what they bring to employers. And a lot of people think that's focused on your major, and we at GradStaff really don't care what somebody majors in. It certainly is a factor, but it's more about the overall, again, value proposition that the student brings forward. As an example, what we recommend for our students is for them to do a lot of self-analysis to figure out what transferable skills they bring to employers. And transferable skills are things like critical thinking, time management, leadership, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And as students think about all the experiences they've had during school and part-time jobs, extracurricular activities, those things oftentimes will jump out at them. So that's step number one.
You know, this is so important. Let's just dwell on that for a moment. Look, college grads, millennials, parents, the fact that Judy or Johnny has made it through 4 years of college is in and of itself a very compelling selling point for you or your child. People downplay this, and you just heard what Bob say. It's not just what you majored in. That's great. You're an English major or you're whatever. But what's important is the message you give by saying, I've completed this. This is something that was tough, and I did it. That means something to a prospective employer, doesn't it, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. And I think one thing that we see a lot in the press here, especially over the last 2-3 years, is that there's a lot of pressure for students to pursue a STEM major, science, technology, engineering, or math. And while those, don't get me wrong, those are great majors, our statistics show that even people that major in those things, only 50% of them actually pursue a career in one of those fields.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, the key point there is that you want to major in something that you really are passionate about, because the purpose of college is, number one, to become a good citizen and to be knowledgeable and to be a participating citizen. And job is also important, but it's not the only thing you go to college for.
That's right. Look, grow up in college and be somebody. And I love that part where you say, tell a story. You know, talk about who you are and what you are. And why somebody should want you there. I mean, you have to sell yourself. It's not just relying on a piece of paper that somebody handed you from some school. You've got to tell a story, right?
Right, exactly. And I think what employers want are well-rounded people. And so, you know, if for those going into college or now in college, what you want to focus on is trying to get as much out of the college experience as you possibly can in terms of extracurricular activities like sports and music and so forth, also volunteering, part-time jobs. I mean, all those things you should be doing, because it's through those experiences where you really hone those transferable skills.
You know, Bob, a personal notation here, because we get to personal networking and importance. My son graduated from college in May and had a job, but it didn't work out because he couldn't get a visa to London. So he's now job searching. And even as we're speaking, he's up in Philadelphia making connect with a potential job. But last night, before he left, he's working as a waiter at a local restaurant. And these people come and they go. And so they came in last night, and discussion went on. And he knows that the person is a very wealthy person, very well connected. And he refused to talk to the person because he didn't want to seem like he was taking advantage. But in the process of conversation, the wife said, you know, Paul, you should have a job, and my husband can help you, and he's well connected. So Paul came home zippy and very excited, Bob. But if that person hadn't said something to him, he wouldn't have said anything. And the point here is, you've got to reach out and you've got to network with people. You've got to tell people what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, I think with this demographic, I think they're very good with online networking through social media and so forth, and LinkedIn, which is a fantastic tool. But I think this demographic vastly underestimates the importance of personal networks, and they have a much greater network than what they think through, you know, professors and past teachers. Their parents, obviously, and relatives, but also their friends and their friends' parents and so forth. And as you think about all those contacts you have, there's a lot of ways you can get your foot in the door.
And in this case, the point of the story is that Paul, my son, has been taking care of these people when they come into the restaurant for several months. They know the story of what happened to him, and they were kind of waiting for him to say, could you help? Or here's my situation. And when they realized that he never was going to do it, they reached out to him last night. And boy, today he's over the moon, Bob. So that could be an opportunity missed. That's my point, right?
Right, absolutely. And Paul, that's just a fantastic example. And we love candidates that have restaurant serving experience because it requires the server to interact with people, occasionally deal with an angry customer. Maybe wait staff that doesn't speak the language or whatever. And so there's a lot of skills that are developed through that experience. But most importantly, dealing with a customer, we recommend that servers, ask, what do you do for a living?
Let me stop for a moment. We'll be right back with more. My guest is Bob Lombard, who has the hot stuff, the right stuff for new college grads. If you are a grad or you are the parent of or family member, look, what we're trying to do is to give you the information that's going to make a difference in getting your kid or getting you hired. And sometimes we make some very silly mistakes simply because we don't have the confidence. And that's where what we're talking about in terms of reaching out to personal networking. Don't be afraid to say who you are. Don't do it in a braggartly way. I'm not talking about that. You don't pop off your chest and talk about it. What you do is to say, you know, I've spent the time and I've got a lot to learn, but I think I'm ready to help you. You know, if somebody says that to me and I'm a prospective employer, I'm going to be impressed, Bob.
Absolutely. And I think with Key piece of advice we have for new grads is to, again, understand your value proposition, but practice, a lot of people call it the elevator pitch, but practice, developing a very brief statement that summarizes what you bring to the table for employers, get them interested, and then get them to ask you follow-on questions, and at that point, then you have them, because they're going to ask you a lot of questions about your background, and that's really a great way to establish dialogue.
And let's reemphasize, what is the most common mistake, the most practical, basic mistake that you can make that can hurt you? I know there are a number, but what, in your mind, is dangerous success?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that trip candidates up, and I think that as candidates look to find a job, they're a lot of times looking at job ads and so forth, and they'll be sending resumes out to a bunch of different opportunities, and they may get opportunities to interview with them. And a key mistake that a lot of grads make is they don't do research on the interview before they go in. Mm-hmm. And so we recommend with all of our candidates to research the industry the company's in, the company itself, and what exciting things they have going on. And then also do some research on the position itself, and so that when you get into the interview, you are going to be knowledgeable about all those things. And so as you get questions, because employers will ask you what you know about their industry and their company, and you're going to want to be prepared for that.
Right. And the thing that I often tell new grads looking is, don't shotgun yourself. Let the employer, the prospective employer, shotgun you. And what I mean by that is, be specific. Is the job you're going for? You don't have to say it's the only thing I can do, but write your resume for the job, because you've done the research that Bob has just talked about, and go in there and say, yeah, I mean, and so on. Now, he may say, well, we don't have this, but we have something else over here, over there. Let him shotgun you to see if you fit his other needs. But some people take a shotgun approach. They're afraid to be specific about what they are sitting. Explain that a little bit more, would you?
Well, yeah, and I think one of the key things here, Paul, is to, because very few entry-level candidates coming out of college will have direct experience in the job that they're interviewing for, whether it's a claims trainee or a help desk position or whatever it is. And so you have to draw going back to telling a story, but you have to draw things from the work experience you do have and how it applies to the job you might be applying for. And so, for example, we had a candidate that we interviewed quite some time ago, and the question that he got from the interviewer had to do with critical thinking skills. And mm-hmm. So the example he gave was in the restaurant. They had problems during the day when they had too many customers and they couldn't serve them fast enough, and it was impacting their business. And so he analyzed the table layout in the restaurant and determined that they could add four more tables if they arranged the tables differently.
Wow.
And so by adding that additional capacity, not only did it increase revenue, but it improved their ability to reduce the lines waiting to get into the restaurant.
Wonderful example. Now, people are listening to you, and they want to reach out to you. Tell us how they can do that.
Sure, yeah. The name of the firm is GradStaff, and our website is gradstaff.com, GradStaff.com. And as you go to the site, you'll get a lot of information on our company and the way in which we work with new grads. But there's a variety of ways to inquire with us through the website by applying with the office nearest to you, or by going to our general site at corporate.
All right, rosy outlook or gloomy outlook? We have just a few seconds left from your perspective. For 2016.
Right. I think that the market, again, as I said before, is as good as it's ever been for new college grads, but you have to have a plan, a strategy. You have to know your value proposition. And one final thing I'll leave you with, Paul, is that over 75% of the new jobs created in the economy are created by employers of 500 employees or less. So it's that small, medium employer, and that's why networking is absolutely critical, because those companies don't interview on campus.
Bob LaBombard, thank you so much for being with us, and come back and see us again, would you please?
Yes, thank you so much.
You
I
bet.
Sure will.
It was a pleasure. Folks, we hope you enjoyed this. We're here every week, same time, same place. It's all about you, helping you make the right decisions about your money, about your future, about your finances. So join me next week. I'll be right here looking for you. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.